Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Is there a ninth planet in our solar system? Science Channel investigates that possibility tomorrow night when popular series How the Universe Works opens its new season. Creator executive producer Stephen March joins me next live from London. Also ahead, ABC gives Quantico one more chance. Food Network gives Iron Chef America one more existence. Our classic trivia question of the week, and the snowy day is our show to know. Hello, everyone. I'm Scott Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Happy post-Thanksgiving to all of you in the U.S. of A. and whatever holiday you might have celebrated this past week. We're delighted to have you with us this week for the program All About Television. 52 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. We have a wonderful guest coming away live from across the Atlantic during this hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, a call from you and using this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you are catching us across the country or around the globe, just here on Blog Talk Radio. And we got a chat room going as well. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So either way, phone or chat room, we will get you involved. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Stephen March from How the Universe Works joins us live from London after these news notes. ABC believes the change of night will be what it takes to save Quantico, its sophomore drama stuck in a rating slump Sunday night. Quantico will move to Monday to 10 p.m. early January, replacing Conviction, the Hayley Atwell starring Little Saga near the end of its run. After a year-long sabbatical, Iron Chef America is set to come back on Food Network next spring. Alden Brown will again host, and the series will feature a new gauntlet format, details to be divulged later. Iron Chef, adapted from the long-running Japanese TV series from Fuji Television, ran on Food Network from 2005 to 2014, and then did a season on sister service Cooking Channel last year. Anne Rice fans rejoice. The popular Vampire Chronicles author announced on Facebook this morning that she will turn those vampire books into a television series. Rice will executive produce the project, while son Christopher writes the opening installment. When that script is ready, Rice will approach various services to clear her chronicles of the Scott and Company. And HBO will premiere Big Little Lies, its first miniseries of 2017, on February 19th. Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman co-star and serve as co-executive producers. And that's news notes for today. Now joining us live from London, the creator and executive producer of Science Channel's popular series, How the Universe Works, Stephen March. Stephen, it's wonderful to have you. Thanks for making the time.
Well, thanks very much for having me on the show. It's great. It's really good.
How did How the Universe Works come into being?
It started quite a few years ago when we were kind of looking at Discovery Channel. We're looking to do something about the cosmos, and myself and a guy called Stuart Carter were really interested in doing something about the universe, and we started off to look at how it kind of was engineered. And as we looked into it, we realized that the universe is just the most extraordinary machine, so complex, ever-changing. And so we wanted to try and bring it to the viewers in a way that was both understandable but didn't dumb it down. So it was a sort of mission to bring the extraordinary universe that we live in to life, but in a way that people could dip into and enjoy without having to have a, you know, a degree in astrophysics or anything.
Mm-hmm. And what was the formula that you and your producers decided upon to make it a series where it's understandable, but yet it's not, as you say, dumbed down?
I think the first thing, the most important thing, is to get really, really, really good contributors, scientists who are passionate, who can tell their stories. So we have a fantastic group of scientists and people from NASA, people of astrophysics, people like Michelle Thaler, Phil Plate, Haki Malisi, Lawrence Krauss. We have this group of really passionate scientist communicators, and they are able to bring incredibly complex stuff that frankly makes my brain melt. And they can bring it down to a language and a level that you kind of really get into it and you feel like you've been learned something. But what's also great is that they'll say, if they don't understand, if scientists don't understand, they say that. So I think it makes scientists seem more normal, like not out, you know, not nothing, that they're not talking a different language. And I think that's the key. It's all about good communication. And then we add to that storytelling, which we're really helped with a guy called Wyatt Channel, who is the exec in science. And then we add that to graphics, which really try and tell the story as if you've got a ringside seat.
What a welcome guest, 1059 into our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. This is our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So guests out there, if you have a question or comment, put it in the chat room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. We appreciate you being aboard. Stephen, what topics on your series does your audience react to the most?
We found that in general, the mostly highly rated, the ones that really attract people, tend to be black holes, because these are kind of weird things. They are huge, they're powerful, and they sound like really scary things out of science fiction. But when you start really looking into them, you discover that without them, we probably wouldn't exist. These huge, huge objects in space, so dense that light can't escape, and yet they help create galaxies, planets, and us. So that's the biggie. But often what people really like is to learn something that they really didn't know, like, for instance, our solar system. You know, most people only think of it as the bit about the planets, but that's a speck compared to what's out there in the rest of our solar system. So I think it's offering a window into this world, which is usually outside our experience because we don't have billion-dollar telescopes in our backyards.
We mentioned at the beginning that the opening episode tomorrow night is going to deal with a very controversial topic. You know, is there a ninth planet in our own solar system that we don't know about? How long was that question stirred in your pot before you decided, let's do an episode about this?
This was a pretty quick decision, because when I grew up, the ninth planet was Pluto. But, you know, we now know Pluto's not. And the news only came out sort of, I think it was the end of last year, maybe the beginning of this year, I can't remember the exact date, that the scientists had found these strange readings that suggested there was a planet. And when we sort of spoke to them, they said, yep, we're pretty convinced there's a planet out there. So we called Discovery Science, called Science and talked to Wyatt, and we kind of made the decision on the spot, because it's just such an amazing topic. Like, this thing has been out there forever and we didn't know about it.
What about this planet, can you tell us? I understand it's it's bigger than Earth. Is it livable? Is it inhabitable?
Well, these are all incredibly good questions. We haven't, because so far we've got no pictures of it. We know it's a long way away. There are basically three sort of main ideas. One, that it's a massive super Earth, which would be kind of weird. Another is that it's a Pluto-like planet, and the third is that it's a small gas giant. But either way, it's much, much bigger than Earth. So we don't know what it is, but we've got some ideas, and that's what the program's about, is looking at which of these ideas might be true. And until we get a picture, or till we ever get anything out there, we may not know. But it's exciting to think that it's out there, and it's big, and it could be so many different things.
Was it very tough to illustrate the different ideas so that it was understandable?
It was tough in as much as we had to use a combination of imagination, and we had to use ideas of what we do know is out there. We have seen, we know there are super Earths in other super solar systems. We know that there are mini Neptunes in other solar systems. So what the scientists do, and that's how they helped us, they gave us the sort of parameters of which something might exist in that other solar system, and then we use that to build our own ideas of this planet. So they're imaginary illustrative versions, but based on solid science. And that's where the great artists of the animation house, which is Darkside, come in, because they interpret our ideas, my storyboards, and the scientists, and they bring them to life. And I think that's kind of why it works, because we kind of really are feel like we're in a little space rocket traveling over it.
Yeah.
How the universe works. New season begins tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on the Science Channel. We are live from London with the creator executive producer, Stephen Marsh, this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Happy to have you with us. I hope those of you in the United States who were dealing with Thanksgiving, I hope you had a fantastic holiday weekend, turkey and everything else. And we're live to have you here for the program All About Television, where we do Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. Simon Applebaum here with you along for the ride, as always. If you have a question or comment for Stephen, give us a ring at 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04NGS1059, and our very good friend Rick Reb from Philadelphia, whose Eagles play some NFL football tonight on Monday Night Football. He is in the room as well. On Friday, we will introduce you to perhaps the Internet's big home for digital storytelling. It's called Wattpad. And every month, 2.3 million storytellers around the world entertain up to 40 million readers with over 300 million stories. I'm not making up the stats up. Why are we talking about Wattpad on Friday? Because they want to get into television in a big way. And they've already made deals with TBS, TNT, and recently Universal Cable Productions, the home of Mr. Robot, to develop some of those stories into television series. We will have an exclusive interview with the chief executive of Wattpad Studios, Aaron Levitt. Plus, we'll devote some time to the world of interactive television and where that is headed in 2017 with our very good friend from Interactive TV Today, founder and editor-in-chief Tracy Swedlow, whose TV Tomorrow show comes to New York at the School of Visual Arts Theater in Midtown Manhattan next Thursday, December 8th. Yours truly will be involved, and we'll tell you how on Friday's show. It's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Stephen, when it comes to selecting topics for your series, what kind of vetting process do you do to determine which topics make sense?
That's a good question, because we tend to start off with things that excite us, and that could be a news story or a latest idea from NASA or one of our contributors, and then we basically investigate it to make sure the scientific veracity, to make sure that it's not going to be a dogleg, which sometimes happens, and then we basically talk to all our contributors and find out all the stories that are linked to it, so we can create a sort of a compelling narrative throughout the show, but each act has a really strong story. So it's a combination of passion, hard research, and sometimes luck. The Planet Nine story, that was just, that just dropped in our lap. People discovered it, they told us about it, and we went and made a show about it. Others like
the
Black Holes film.
What are the topics over the season, Stephen, also were matters of luck?
That's a good question. Let me have a look. Let me have a quick think. What are the stories? I think that there was just the Planet Nine was the one which just sort of the story sort of dropped right out of the air. But there have been lots of really interesting, as we were making them, there were some really interesting stories in black holes where a news came through when we were sort of writing it that they had found a super gigantic black hole, supermassive black hole, much bigger than ever before. And that's what makes this show so fun, is that as we're making them, the stories are changing. Sometimes we've had to change segments as we've been writing them and editing them because the science has changed. And I suspect that if we were to make the series again, in 10 years' time, we'd find that we were making, new stuff, because our exploration, our technology, our ability to see further and further is opening up the universe in a way that even 20 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, we didn't have.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other topics in this upcoming season after Tomorrow Night's episode about the ninth planet?
Well, the second episode is about Mars, but it's not looking at the planet. It's looking at all the potential extinction events that may have happened on Mars that killed off the Martians. We've had extinction events on Earth, which have killed off many species. Well, we take the idea that we're pretty sure that there was life on Mars, and we look at how it may have grown and been destroyed. There's a show about how supermassive black holes grow so big, because nobody really understands how they get so incredibly large. There's a show about dark matter, which is kind of weird because we're trying to make a show about something you can't see, hear, or feel. But that show is about how dark matter has constructed the universe. there's a show about exoplanets, looking at all the different ones we found and how weird they might be. There's a really cool show on about killer stars, how stars are pretty deadly, and we're pretty lucky to live by a pretty nice one, because some of them out there are cold-blooded killers.
Hmm. Why are they called killer stars?
It's a funky title because it sounds so exciting, but stars are all different shapes and sizes. Our star is benign. It's relatively quiet. It's not violent. But there are stars out there that explode. Really supermassive stars explode, creating supernovas, which, you know, if you're in close to a supernova, it's going to wipe out your planet. Other stars simply collapse directly into black holes, and so suddenly you're in the dark and you die from the cold. There are stars that shoot across space called hypervelocity stars. These things are traveling around 1,000,000 miles an hour. There is just some pretty weird stuff out there. You never run out of stories, because there is always something strange and weird either happening in deep space or even stranger in our own cosmic backyard in the solar system. We keep on finding out new stuff.
NASA Geographic Channel has a very ambitious series now on called Mars, which happens to be a latest episode goes on tonight, which suggests that sooner than we think, we may colonize that red planet. Have any of your episodes looked at the idea of colonizing planets beyond the moon?
It's very interesting. We almost every season we come up with a show. Why don't we do terraforming? Why don't we look at terraforming? And we do some speculating about what might happen in the future, what might humans do, but our show tends to concentrate more on what's actually happening now, and we can see it. I've seen a bit of that show, and it's terrific, and you know, it's a really, really great watch. But it's slightly different to us in that it's looking at what may happen, where we're kind of focusing on what is happening now. Maybe in the future we will look at one. I don't know.
Stephen, your colleague at Science Channel, Morgan Freeman, the actor, has a series that's also, like yours, been around for a number of years called Through the Wormhole. I'm just curious, what is the difference between wormhole and black hole? Is there a true difference between those universe phenomena?
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between the two shows, but there's certainly a difference between the phenomena. A black hole is an object in space where either a massive star or a giant cloud has collapsed under its own gravity to form a region of space that looks black. And it looks black because light can't escape. The gravity is so dense, nothing can escape. If you were sucked into it, it's a one-way ticket in. You're never going out. That's a black hole. A wormhole is a theoretical sort of portal in space where time and space, the fabric of the universe, has become twisted and distorted. And it's thought that it's mathematically possible that a wormhole may allow you to jump between regions of space. Now, some people have questioned whether the very core, the very singularity at the heart of a black hole may be a wormhole, but nobody knows. I'm not convinced, but who knows? You know, we didn't know there was a ninth planet, you know, 2 years ago. So, pretty much anything is possible.
We're speaking with Stephen Marsh. He's the creative executive producer of the popular and long-running Science Channel series, How the Universe Works. It's on tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. It kicks off with a very exciting question: is there a ninth planet in our solar system? If so, where, and how does it exist? Stephen joins us live from London this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom and Applebaum with you for the ride from New York. 52 degrees at the top of the hour. Glad you're with us. If you have a question or a comment, get it in at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. A week from Friday on the program, we will have the creative executive producer of a new series on Hulu called Shut Eye. It's an unusual mystery drama starring the former star of Burn Notice, Jeffrey Donovan. And the writer is someone who has a bit of heritage in television. His father was the original story editor and later a producer on Rawhide. His name is Les Dolan, and Les won an Emmy Award a number of years ago for writing and producing the first cable series to win an original miniseries award for an Emmy. The series was Taken, which was executive produced by Steven Spielberg and ran on the Sci-Fi Channel. Les Dolan from Shut Eye on Hulu. He's with us a week from Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Do any episodes deal with how we get to the universe, how we deal with both space travel and time travel?
I didn't hear the first part of the question. Forgive me.
Absolutely, Stephen. Have any episodes dealt with how we travel through the universe, whether it is both space travel as well as traveling in time?
We haven't done time travel, but we did do a show where we looked at what a human would have to face if they were going to travel in a rocket, traveling out from Earth, across the solar system and out. And that was very, very interesting because as you look into it, you go, oh, my word, this is a really, really dangerous place. And in this series, we've done an episode called Worst Places in the Universe, that we've put the deadliest places. And that kind of looks at some of the nasty things that are out there that could kill you, even if you're in a space rocket. So combining the two, we did one where we looked at the travel. In this series, we do a really fun one where we're looking at the effects of the universe has on a human. And along for the ride, we have a cosmic crash test dummy called Chuck, who we kind of demonstrate some of the nasty tricks the universe has up its sleeve when it comes to trying to make life difficult for humans.
Mm-hmm. Have any episodes dealt with how the universe, our universe, works in comparison with other universes, beyond Alpha Centauri, beyond other constellations?
Well, it's interesting. We've certainly looked at we did a show about solar systems where we compared our solar systems to other solar systems, and I'm really keen to do an episode where we compare our universe to the idea that there may be parallel universes all the way. And that rather than our universe being the only one, we may be one of a number of universes all lying side by side, and perhaps we're sort of like giant cosmic bubbles and that we bounce into each other. I think that's something that I'd like to explore. The physics say it's possible. We just don't know. But our universe is so big. I mean, the idea that there might be loads of them is just mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm. Stephen, before we go, you're working in a medium that has had a very rich heritage of depicting the planets, depicting the universe in fiction, whether it is programs like The Twilight Zone, Star Trek, The Outer Limits, with Star Trek, of course, coming back next year on CBS All Access, various programs on Sci-Fi, The Expanse, new series on sci-fi. What do you think about how science fiction on television showcases what you're depicting as facts?
That's a really good question. You know, in the 1950s and 60s, kind of sci-fi sort of reflected the era of the time, you know, the great, you know, during the Kennedy period, you know, the sense of exploration. But since then, I think science fiction has become a lot more serious. And I think that a lot of science fiction films now involve scientists to work with them. Interstellar had a very, very scientific core. Even the Danny Boyle film about going to the sun had a scientist involved. So I think they're getting a lot better. And I think there is a really sort of almost emerging between the two, where science fiction is using some of the real facts to make their stuff much richer, and we're using some of the narrative storytelling ideas that science fiction uses. So I think, as we often say in our shows, and some of our contributors say, this is weirder than science fiction. I mean, my favorite all-time facts from any show we've ever done was the idea that atoms in my left hand probably come from a different star to atoms in my right hand. if you wrote that as science fiction, people would think you were insane. But that's the truth of our universe. So I think in many ways the truth of our universe is weirder than science fiction, and science fiction will have to get a whole lot weirder to catch up.
Well, you can learn how the universe works in the program of the same name that opens up a new season with this question: is there a ninth planet in our solar system? You can learn some possible answers tomorrow night at 10 p.m. East Pacific Time when How the Universe Works opens its latest season. You'll find it on the Science Channel. Check your local listings to where that network is available in your area, on cable and satellite. For more details online about the program and the service, here's where you go, www.sciencechannel.com. It's www.sciencechannel, that's all one phrase, .com. Once again, How the Universe Works. New season begins tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Stephen March, creative executive producer, joining us live from London, where it is prime time where you are. Thank you for making the time for us. Congratulations on the success of the series so far, and hopefully not just a great season ahead starting tomorrow, but many, many more to come. It's been wonderful to have you here.
Well, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm a massive fan of American TV, so it's just a pleasure to be able to work on those channels.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you aboard. All the greatest, Stephen. Take care.
Thanks very much. Good night to you all. Have a lovely day.
You got it. A great week as well. Stephen March, the creative executive producer of How the Universe Works, joining us live from London. Well, our classic trivia question of the week coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Are you trying to solve the universe of LinkedIn? Well, there's a new audiobook that is out this week that can help you. It is called LinkedIn, Using the Mobile App by Brad Brown. You can hear Brad and get his tips about how to master that universe of LinkedIn through a special trial from Audible.com. You know, Audible is an amazing sound service. It's a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information with over 180,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to any book on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. So if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you can get that LinkedIn book or another free audio book of your choice and a one-month trial of the service. And don't forget, because audible.com is owned by Amazon.com, you know the customer service is definitely king of that universe. So give yourself a wonderful sound present this holiday season or for someone you love, and check out this URL, audibletrial.com/televised. Get the one free audio book, one-month trial, great customer service, and a wonderful experience in the world of digital audio. audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. Great sound available for you 24/7. And now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. And for the very first time, we're offering not one, not two, but three prizes if you are first with the correct answer. All of them are books. I was saved by the bell by the executive producer, Peter Engel, who was on this program several weeks ago, Twin Peaks FAQ, and now The MacGyver Secret, the brand-new book by Lee Zoltoff, the creator of MacGyver, who was on this very program just last Monday. Here's the question. We offered it for the first time a week ago. We're repeating it this week, and here it is. Complete the title of this 1950s television drama starring Charles Bronson, Man with a Blank. Man with a Blank. 1950s series ran on ABC for a year and a half, starring Charles Bronson. Man with a Blank. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if you're first with the correct answer, you'll win. I Was Saved by the Bell by Peter Engel, Twin Peaks FAQ from Vlog Books, and now The MacGyver Secret by the creator of that series, now back on CBS, Lee Zoltoff. Remember, email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your full mailing address, because if you win, we want to get those books out to you. And you can also tweet the answer by using Twitter, #TWBT. That's Twitter, #TWBT. The Twitter option is made available to the fine folks at Hopscotch, the people that invite you to create your own social soundtrack. And you can learn how at www.hopscotch.com, www.hopscotch.com. But remember, if you want to win, you got to be in. So get busy, find that answer, get out to us, and you will be the winner. By the way, if you just came in and missed the question, no problem. We will post it tomorrow morning on my Facebook page and on my own Twitter hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. So don't forget, be in and win, and all the very best. When we come back, our show to know is very special. One of the great children's books of all time, because a great special thanks to Amazon Studios. The Snowy Day, by Edward Jack Keith. It's our show to know. We'll talk about it after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are listening to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the Real Weird Sisters. We've got a lot to talk about, and you can hear on weekends various times, the Real Weird Sisters right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, for the best of BTR 24/7, go to YouTube.com. Welcome back to the Marty Tell Live. Simon Applebaum here with you live from Nueva York. Delighted you are with us. We're with you for a little bit longer this hour. And if you have some questions or comments about our guests or your thoughts on where TV is at, where it's going, give us a ring. We'll put you on the air. It's Simon. It's our wonderful line is 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Try by using the phone, use the chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. Find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Just 105.9, our good friend Rick Webb from Philadelphia is in the room. And now it's time for our regular feature, a show to know. We highlight a program that's worth watching, and you might not know about it because it's not well publicized or marketed or promoted, or it falls under the radar screen of critics and journalists. In 1962, a wonderful illustrator named Edward Jack Keith decided to make his own children's book, write and illustrate it. That book was groundbreaking, called The Snowy Day. Why? Because it was the first children's picture book of note to feature a character of color, in this case, an African-American boy named Peter, and what he was experiencing on a snowy day. 1 year later, Westwood Studios in Connecticut made it into a featurette as part of its long-running series, Picture Book Parade, episodes of which, including The Snowy Day, appeared regularly on Captain Kangaroo on CBS. Well, decades later, The Snowy Day is now a full-fledged television special. It was released on November 25th, one of three, by Amazon Studios. And it is a beauty. And it has a great all-star cast. Lawrence Fishburne serves as executive producer, and he narrates the story. And the voice talent includes the wonderful co-star of American Crime and The Leftovers, Regina King, Jamie Lynn Sigler from The Sopranos, and Angela Bassett from BoJack Horseman and America Horror Story. And Boys to Men created the original soundtrack, including a new song called Snowy Day. The Snowy Day is some special, and incidentally, I hope that it continues because Edward Jack Keith not only wrote The Snowy Day, but several more books featuring that character of Peter. So hopefully, if The Snowy Day works out well, there'll be additional episodes featuring Peter. The Snowy Day is now available on Amazon Prime. You can also get it through Amazon Fire TV if you have that device. The Snowy Day is an Edward Jack Keith brilliant story, one of the great picture books ever made, and now it has finally been given its television due. The Snowy Day, as I mentioned, is one of three Amazon specials that were released on November 25th. The others are If You Give About the Christmas Cookie and An American Girl Story, Extraordinary Christmas, Mary Ellen, 1955. If you want more details about The Snowy Day and those other Amazon titles, here's where you go online, www.amazon.com/originals. That's amazon.com/originals. And if you've never tried The Snowy Day, whether you are a child or a child at heart, it's a wonderful book. I grew up reading it over and over and over again. I saw the Western Woods original a number of times. It's a beautiful tale. And in this new version, it is beautifully told. Congrats to Lawrence Fishburne and crew for a wonderful job. And I hope, again, there'll be more events to Peter in the years to come. Is there a TV show that you like very much or you've discovered yourself very much that doesn't get the credit? Well, we'd like to give it the credit in our Show to Know feature. The way you do it, communicate with me. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're from. If we use your suggestion on the air in this feature, you, of course, will get the credit. That's the way it ought to be. simonapple04@yahoo.com. And it looks like that will do it for this edition of Tomorrow Be Told. Oh, before we go, we have some sad news to talk about. I'm sure many of you know about the death of Florence Henderson during the Thanksgiving weekend. Not just was one of the great sitcom characters of all time is Carol Brady, but she was also the original Today Girl, one of the first women to break into what was a male-dominated enterprise when the day shows on NBC during the 1950s. She was also the original host of what was later today and now the third hour of today that's hosted by various NBC News correspondents and anchors. And in addition to that, she continued to do hosting television shows for a number of years on the Nashville Network and more recently on Retirement Living Television. She was more than just Carol Brady in television. Of course, many people know her as a great Broadway musical and regional musical star. Florence Henderson passed away. In addition to her passing away, We also saw the death of Ron Glass, the Emmy-nominated co-star of Barney Miller at the age of 71. And today we found out that last night, wonderful actor Fritz Weaver of Broadway, stage, screen, and television passed away at the age of 90. As good an actor as there is, many of you might know his performance in Failsafe on television. He won an Emmy nomination in the 1990s for his work as the patriarch of the family impacted by Holocaust on NBC. He also was involved in two of the best Twilight Zone episodes, Third from the Sun in season one, and in season three, along with Burgess Meredith giving a fantastic performance in The Obsolete Man, both episodes written by the creator of the series, Rod Serling. Once again, Fritz Weaver dead at the age of 90, and Ron Glass dead at the age of 71. Not only was he a co-star on Barney Miller, but later in life on the popular Fox series, Firefly, and the movie of that series, Serenity. Well, that will do it for this edition of Tomorrow We Tell. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us and all of you for listening in. Don't forget, coming up on Friday at our regular hour, we'll introduce you to Wattpad. It is the home of digital storytelling with 2.3 million storytellers contributing 300 million stories a month listened to by over 40 million people. And now it's trying to enter television in a big way with its new Wattpad Studios operation. They've made development deals so far with TBS, TNT, and last week, Universal Cable Productions, the folks behind Mr. Robot, and more recently, Eyewitness on USA Network. We will have the chief executive of Wattpad Studios, Aaron Levitz. Plus, our very good friend Tracy Swedlow from Interactive TV Today will tell us about where things are at with Interactive TV in 2017. And then a week from Friday, one of our guests will be Les Boehm. He is the creator executive producer of the new Hulu series starring Jeffrey Donovan, a bird known as fame, Shut-Eye, premiering in mid-December. That is all coming up the next two Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Don't forget, if you came in late on today's program, or you want to catch up on our episodes you missed, including our wonderful triple header this past Thanksgiving week, go to our homepage. Enjoy it. It's blogtalkradio.com/televise. blogtalkradio.com/televise. And check out the podcast issue of the show. You'll find it at iTunes.com. And if you have Apple TV 2.0, you can get it on the iTunes podcast app, where you can hear and watch our program. And share with us as well. Don't forget, when you get the podcast version on iTunes, you can download it to your smartphone or tablet, share it with others, take it on the go wherever your travels may take you. That's iTunes.com and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. We love hearing from you. What do you think about our guest today with How the Universe Works, live from London? And what's your thoughts about where the universe of television is at and where it's going? Love to hear. Again, the email, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. You also find me on Facebook. And follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. Also, catch our Tomorrow We Tell Live segments every week on BK Live here in the New York area. You can catch that program Mondays and weekdays from noon to 1 p.m. on Brick TV. Brick TV is available throughout New York City and Verizon Files. On Charter Spectrum in New York, particularly Manhattan and Brooklyn, on the other Brooklyn cable systems, Cablevision Systems and RCN. And it's also available throughout the nation at youtube.com/BrickTV, youtube.com/BrickTV, and BrickArtsMedia.org. That's www.BrickArtsMedia.org. And I'll also be coming out later this week with one, maybe two columns for MediaVillage.com, the wonderful media analysis and commentary website headed by our good friend Jack Myers. That's MediaVillage.com. Tomorrow we televise. You'll find my columns right there. Again, we love hearing from you because guess what? What you say matters more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toto's Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator of this very enterprise, is Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow We Tell Live was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. For Tomorrow We Tell Live, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your day and week. We are back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, with Wattpad Studios and Tracy Swedlow of Interactive TV Today. You know the time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here along the universe of Blog Talk Radio. Be safe and be great out there. And until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.